Ahmed, it's so great to be here. It's great to have my family here with us too. My wife Jen and I both direct Chi Alpha Campus Ministries. Two of my three boys are here with us today. Thanks, Pastor Mitch, for inviting us to be here for Mission Sunday. Hey, today I need your help. Can you give me a hand? I need you to, thank you. Yeah. Come on, I like that. Yeah, great. No, not that kind of a hand. I want you to use your imaginations with me as we kind of get started here in the message. What I want you to think of is this. Who is the most brilliant person who's ever lived? Who's the most brilliant person who's ever walked on the planet? The chalkboard might point your minds in a particular direction. I don't know, like an Albert Einstein, a scientist. Maybe some of you, as you were thinking about most brilliant person, maybe you're thinking of someone in history, a founding father, a philosopher, an author. Some of you maybe are thought a little bit closer to home, maybe a professor or a teacher or maybe even a family member, right? Kids, you can look at your parents, right? They're the most brilliant. But you know who I think of when I think of the most brilliant person who's ever walked the planet? It's Jesus. This is Chosen Jesus here. For those of you who are already watched season 3, please no spoilers. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But some of you are like, Jesus, brilliant? Jesus, smart? You know, most of the times we don't think of him in those kind of categories, do we? We think of Jesus as holy. We think of Jesus as inspiring. We think of Jesus as God. But do we think of Jesus as brilliant? Well, when you take a look at his life as recorded in the New Testament, there are so many things you can point to that show the brilliance of Jesus. But there's just one that I want to point out to today, and it comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so what I wanted to focus in on is that first city that Jesus mentions, Jerusalem. We have to ask the question, Jesus, why Jerusalem? You realize that Jerusalem's a little bit problematic for his disciples for a couple reasons. First, the disciples are not from Jerusalem. They're country folk from Galilee. And so being in Jerusalem was difficult. You know, they had stayed there for the Passover, and now I think they might be overstaying their welcome just a little bit. You know, they're sleeping on somebody's couch, and like, when can I get this guy out of my house? But there's some other issues, too. Another issue is the fact that the same people who crucified Jesus are after his disciples as well. Jesus, Jerusalem is dangerous for your disciples. Can't they go someplace a little bit more safe? Well, like I said, Jesus is smart. Jesus is brilliant. And so the reason why he has them to wait in Jerusalem, because he knows just a few days after he shared this message with his disciples, there's this thing that's gonna happen. It's this festival that the Jews called the Feast of Pentecost, where Jews from all the known world would gather in this one place in Jerusalem, in the temple courts. And when the Holy Spirit falls on his first followers, they'd have the opportunity to hear Peter speak a Holy Spirit-empowered message. And people from Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth are part of those 3,000 who form the first church. Jesus is brilliant. He's brilliant. And he calls us as his followers to step into his understanding and his strategic nature as well. And one of the things I want to point out before I move on is this, is that we need to recognize Jesus' brilliance for one reason. We don't follow people who are dumb. And unless you recognize that Jesus is not just holy, but he's smart too, we'll have a hard time giving our whole lives, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength to following after him. There was another person who chose to follow after this Jesus. He's the first missionary. It's Mission Sunday. We should talk about the first missionary, right? It's this guy named Paul. Brilliant guy, a little follically challenged. But he kind of shows his brilliance. In Acts chapter 16, there's this situation where Paul is stuck. He has been going into different places in Asia trying to share the message of Jesus. And then he gets stuck in one place. He moves one direction, he can't go that way. He moves another direction, he can't go that way. One of the directions he decides to go, he says the Holy Spirit prevents him from going that way. We're not really sure what that means, but he's kind of stuck. And so as he gets stuck, he does the thing that I'd love to follow Paul in. He goes to bed and falls asleep. But then he has a dream. And the Holy Spirit gives him a vision of this Macedonian man, and he says, come over here and help us. It's this opportunity now for Paul to be able to take this gospel message of Jesus into Europe for the first time. So what does Paul do? He wakes up, he gets on a boat, and he heads over. And the first stop is this island called Samothrace. It's kind of Macedonia adjacent, right? Paul, go and talk to some Macedonian men. But Luke records no ministry in Samothrace. He hops on another boat and goes to Neapolis, which is a port city in Macedonia itself. He hops off the boat and he is surrounded by Macedonian men. Isn't Paul going to minister to one of them? No, he doesn't. Instead, he goes to the capital city, this place called Philippi. And the first person he ministers to is not a man at all. It's a woman named Lydia. What's so special about Lydia? Well, a couple things. First, Lydia is open to the gospel message. There's no synagogue in Philippi, but the Jews are gathering by the river, and her heart is open to find out more about the truth of who this God is. But there's also another thing that's significant about Lydia. Lydia is a seller of purple, which means that she is a merchant to the most influential, the richest people in the city, because dyeing fabric in the color of purple was very, very expensive. So as Paul ministers to Lydia and God opens up her heart, he's not opening up the gospel message just to one person, but to the very heart of the most influential part of this culture. Paul was strategic. Paul was brilliant, inspired by the Holy Spirit. God calls us to be strategic too. We were kind of like Paul, not writers of two-thirds of the New Testament, but we were kind of stuck. When my wife and I, this picture was taken last week. When my wife and I had just graduated Bible college, we were newly married, and we thought we were supposed to go one particular direction, but that door was closed to us. And so we didn't know where we were supposed to go after that. We were serving as volunteers at a local church in Springfield, Missouri, when we met this couple named Barry and Alicia Scholey. Barry and Alicia Scholey were at the time stepping into a national position with Chi Alpha. And they had heard about our predicament. And they said, hey, do you ever think about working with college students? And we said, not really. But we're kind of open to whatever God has for us. So we'll check it out. And so they invited us to come with them to the Chi Alpha meeting at Southwest Missouri State University. And to be honest, I didn't have, a really positive viewpoint of what campus ministry was going to be all about. I honestly was like, I don't think there's a whole lot of people serving Jesus on a secular campus. And, you know, being a man of faith and power, having recently graduated from Bible college, I'm going to go and I'm going to encourage this tiny little group of believers and just say, hey, you can stay saved. It'll be all right. So we walk on campus, and it is a spring day. It's April, and we're walking through this quad area towards the Student Union building, and the windows are open, and I hear this worship music kind of pouring out from the second story window. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, man, whoever's in that space is going to get a noise complaint because they got their stereo turned up way too loud. Then we walk upstairs to the second floor and we walk into this meeting space, but I'm thinking, obviously, we're in the wrong room. Or somebody got the setup all wrong because it's filled with like 100 or 150 chairs, and there's certainly not 100 people on campus at Southwest Missouri State University who love Jesus. That's definitely not happening. Then students start coming in to the meeting room, and we're meeting a whole bunch of students from Missouri, but we're also meeting students from like China and Russia and France. Now, if you've ever been in Springfield, Missouri, you'll realize it's probably the least diverse town on the planet. And on the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, I think they hide all the internationals in this room. I've never met this diverse of a group before. And then the worship music started, and what I thought was a stereo was actually this incredible worship band. And they're singing this song, which was kind of popular at the time. You guys might know it. You know the song, Shout to the Lord? It was sung like you'd never heard it before because the worship leader kind of led the students, and he was saying, hey, shout to the Lord. And there were actually a couple of students who stood on chairs and shouted out to God, like that. And now I'm intimidated. And in the middle of this scene, Alicia, who had invited us, turned, put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, Mike, you can reach the world from this room. God grabbed us. He said, I know you feel like you're stuck, but I want to make you strategic. And so we stepped into an internship with Chi Alpha, and then we moved to Washington, D.C., where we spent 16 years doing campus ministry at American University. And then in 2014, God stirred our hearts and moved us to Richmond to restart Chi Alpha at Virginia Commonwealth University. And can I just talk a little bit about the strategic nature of campus ministry right here in Richmond? There are 70,000 college students in the Richmond metro area. There are 31,000 students on campus at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, and they come from all 50 states and more than 100 nations of the world. And some of the top sending nations are places like China and India and Saudi Arabia. Can I tell you, it's very, very difficult to get access to China as a missionary. It's becoming more and more difficult to get access to India as a missionary. I just talked to a missionary couple who were kicked out of India because they were accused of being missionaries there. And it is absolutely impossible to get into Saudi Arabia as a missionary. But each one of those countries are sending their best and their brightest here to VCU, and we have the opportunity to share the message of Jesus with them. They're like a whole bunch of Lydias coming to our campus, and we get to open their hearts to the message of Jesus. It is incredibly strategic. It's amazing. And I'd love to tell you all kinds of stories about students like Hyungju or Rashmita or Jatin, but I want to tell you about a student named Jesse. Jesse is from Central Virginia, really exotic place. She grew up in a church just like this one. But when she stepped foot on campus at VCU, she had no desire to visit a church. She had no desire to join a campus ministry. In fact, she wanted to kind of like explore what the college scene would be like. She had pictured having all kinds of friends and going to all kinds of parties and just having a whole lot of fun. The only problem was Jessie was extremely shy. She had a hard time making friends. In fact, she spent most of her days just going to class, grabbing something to eat, and going back to her apartment where she spent most of her time alone. Well, what she didn't know is her pastor gave us Jessie's contact information and said, hey, could you reach out to her? And so we handed over her contact information to one of our first year small group leaders. Her name was Emily. And Emily began to send out prayer-filled text messages. Now, she didn't pray for her over text message, but she prayed before she sent the text message. And she invited Jesse to just to connect. You know, hey, let's grab a Coke. Let's grab some lunch, something like that. Jesse texted her back when she got her first text message. She said, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to meet with you. Remember, Jesse was just going to class, grabbing food, and going and sitting in her apartment. And then Emily decided to try again. I'm going to reach out to her again. And this text message was ignored. Finally, one more text message she sent out. And Jesse was now getting annoyed. She's like, you know what? Man, she's just pestering me. I'm never going to get rid of her. I'll just meet with her maybe for 15 minutes, and then I'll be done with this. So she met up with Emily, and what she thought was going to be this short 15-minute meeting turned into 2 hours. And what Jesse told us later was, meeting with Emily, she said she felt like she found her home at VCU. She got plugged in to her small group, and Jesse rededicated her life to Jesus as a part of that small group and as a part of Chi Alpha at VCU. It's awesome. Well, her story's not done. Jesse, in her senior year, decided to join us on a short-term mission trip to Mali, West Africa. She wasn't necessarily all that excited about missions, but she thought it sounded like an interesting place to go. It'd be kind of a good story. And so she joined with us. We had the opportunity to reach out to this small village where the gospel had never gone before. And we got a chance to put up a fence and connect with some of the kids who were there in the village. And in one of the evenings, we encouraged our students just to spend some time praying for the people that they had a chance to meet that day. And Jesse prayed this dangerous prayer. She said, God, will you send someone? Will you send someone to minister to that boy that I met today? And Jesus said, how about you? Jesse, last January, packed up all of her belongings and moved to Mali, West Africa, to begin sharing the gospel with that next generation of this unreached country. Our God is so brilliant. Our God is so strategic, rescuing Jesse, but then also through her, ministering to a group of people who would never know unless she would go herself. Sometimes we chase after students. Other times, students find us. Every week, we're in the middle of what's called the Compass, which is basically the middle of the Monroe Park campus at VCU. It's right out in front of the library, and we set up a table. Sometimes we play games. We connect with students over questions of the day. Sometimes we get a chance to pray with students. A lot of times, we're just ignored as students pass us by on their way to class with their iPods or their AirPods in. But one time, we're out on campus handing out popsicles. I just want to say, God anoints popsicles on a hot August day. And so we connect with one student. His name is Ethan. Ethan grabs a popsicle. He's very polite, listens to what I have to say about Chi Alpha, invite him to get involved in one of our events that we're going to have this weekend, and he leaves. And I just pray a quick prayer. God, would you intervene in Ethan's life? Well, I had no idea that God was going to answer that prayer just 10 minutes later, because Ethan came back to the table, and he asked me a question that I very rarely get asked. He said, hey, do you guys study the Bible? I'm like, yes, we do. Yes, we do. And I was like, I got to hear more about your story. Hey, let's sit down and talk for a minute. And so we sat down next to the table. And he told me, he's like, you know, hey, during the pandemic, I got kind of tired of YouTube and Netflix. And on the shelf in my apartment was this Bible that he had never read before. He's completely unreligious, a secular Jew. But he opened up the New Testament and he said, I read this book called Matthew. And there I was introduced to this guy named Jesus. And I read through the teachings of Jesus. I am just fascinated by him. Can I talk to somebody about Jesus? I'm like, yes, you can. And so we started meeting every week. I got Ethan plugged in to a small group And a couple weeks later, he said, man, I want to follow Jesus with my life. Later that spring, we baptized Ethan in the James River. And here's a shot next of his small group who was there to celebrate with him. God is rescuing students at VCU. God is rescuing students here in Richmond. Just a sample of what God is doing. Well, about that same time, we were looking for a place to meet on campus. It gets harder and harder to reserve a space. Not because VCU is antagonistic to faith. It's just they don't have any room. And so I had an opportunity to connect with a pastor who they were meeting in a building right there in the middle of campus. And I sat down with him and I thought I was gonna sign a rental contract to meet on Wednesday nights in the middle of the semester. Instead, he asked me a question that I never thought I'd ever get asked. He says, hey, Mike, the building is for sale. Are you interested in buying it? And I'm like, yes, I am. Now, let me tell you about how incredible this is. Pastor Mitch told you a little bit about where it's located. It is not near campus. It is on campus. We are one block away from that space that I described to you, the Compass, which is right in front of the library, right in front of the cafeteria. We're one block away from all of the residential housing at VCU. 6,000 students live a block away from our front door. Thousands of students walk past our building every single day, and I already gave it away. God has given us the opportunity to become the owners of that building, partially because of the generous offerings of MCC. Thank you for helping us to own space in the middle of campus at VCU. It is truly a miracle. But can I tell you another investor in that property? It's this guy named Ethan. Ethan graduated from VCU with an economics degree, and he decided to use that degree to become an auto mechanic. And he rented this like small space in this shared work area on the north side of town and basically just kind of scraping pennies together, doing just odd mechanic work. But I got a chance to sit down with him, and I told him about this amazing situation. And I didn't ask him to give. I didn't even think he had any money to give. But he said this, Mike, write me down for $1,000. Isn't that crazy? I mean, $1,000 was probably twice what he was paying on his rent for his apartment. I mean, he could have kept his company in business for probably 3 or 4 months on $1,000. But he chose to invest that money because he had recognized the brilliance of Jesus. And it transformed his life. And he said, I want to invest so that students who are like me have the opportunity to hear the awesome message of Jesus. It's awesome. It's awesome. Hey, in just a couple minutes, you're going to have the opportunity to make an investment as well. Some of you, $1,000 sounds like a lot of money. For others of you, you spend far more than $1,000 on your vacation every year. And God might be asking you, hey, would you invest that vacation this year so that the gospel can go forward? Would you invest that significant amount of money so that other people might be able to hear the message of Jesus in the city of Richmond, all around this country, and all around the world? You have an opportunity to experience that. And the truth is this, when we take that step of faith, that's the only time where we begin to see the brilliance and the strategic nature of Jesus. Some of you are like, I'm not so sure if Jesus is all that smart. Well, he's inviting you to trust him to see how smart he really is. Some of you, he's calling to invest significantly this Sunday, these next couple weeks. Others of you, he's calling you to do something far more than giving your financial resources. others of you, he's calling to give your life, to step away from the career that you had, to change the trajectory of your life so that you can go and share the message like a Paul, like a Jesse. It takes sacrifice. But why do we sacrifice? Because we serve a missionary God who sacrificed everything so that we might have life. And we recognize that it was an individual who came into our lives to share the message of hope. That's the reason why we had the opportunity to respond. And Paul shares in Romans chapter 10, how will they know unless someone preaches? And how will someone preach unless they are sent? Maybe today is your day to be sent from this place into the world so that others might know Jesus. God used his message to change Jesse's life. God used his message to change Ethan's life. And he's going to use his message to change your lives too if you trust in him. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together today. You are working in this place. We have seen it so many ways. And we sang that song, God, will you be that God of revival? I recognize the revival starts in us. It starts in me. God, will you revive me? Will you help me to see how great of a God, how smart, how brilliant, how strategic you are? And will you position me, whether that's in my family, in my workplace, in my school, to share the message of hope with the relationships I have? And will you trust me, God, to give of my resources, to give my life so that others might know who you are? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Praise you, brother. Thank you. So good. So good. You know, I was thinking about that when you're sharing like a life being changed. God may call you out. I really believe, and Pastor Matt, we've been talking about this for a while now. I believe God is calling some more people out of our church into the mission field. And we always ask that like a little red light would go on your head. So when we looked it out, we go, oh, there you are, there you are, there you are. Like the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you and speak to you. But we want to be part of that. We want to be engaged with you in that. If you feel that calling, whether you're young or you're old or whatever it is at the season of your life. And speaking of that, Aaron and Vanjie and Hendrickson, they direct RVA Hope Center. And Aaron's going to come and share a little bit. But that happened to him. I mean, he is, didn't you like run Capital One or something? You're in charge of the whole thing. Yeah, right. He was a big guy at Capital One. Now he's a big guy at the city of Richmond, and God's using them in a very strategic way. But it is through your faith promise giving. And but not only that, it's like you can see, Mike, as you shared that, like this is a whole engineered thing by God. It is very strategic what God is doing in these times and in these places. And we're all part of it. And so I hope that you recognize that that you are all part of this thing together. We as a church, God has called us out. And so Aaron's going to share just a little bit about what's happening there, but just kind of let's just kind of embrace this moment as God begins to bring us together.
Awesome. Thank you for this opportunity. Vanjie can't be here. She's serving in the nursery. She calls it baby therapy. So those of you who bring babies, thank you. It's helping our ministry and our marriage. So I appreciate that. But excited to share with you, we are missionaries that receive support from MCC as well as we were launched from MCC. So we're very thankful for your generosity as a church body because you are generous through Faith Promise and other avenues as well. We get the opportunity to spend time with some of our friends we've got up on the screen. So Danny's in the upper left-hand corner. He's an awesome kid we've known since 2019. He loves just playing sports and playing games and just hanging out and talking. And we've gotten the honor to walk with him as he's taken on the burden of being the man of the household at a very young age, while his grandmother, who's his guardian, is battling some serious health issues. At the same time, we've gotten to walk with him as he's come to know Christ and grow in Christ as well. So also, because of you, we've been able to consistently hit the streets of Richmond and bring trafficked and exploited women hope, resources, healing, and most importantly, the unconditional love of Jesus. We could go on for hours just sharing the stories of people like Danny and the women that we've met on the street who have been able to encounter Jesus and just really grow and experience your love through your generosity. The last picture is one of our Saturday Shine teams. I love some of the facial expressions on there. That's just one example of just because of you guys, the countless teams that we've had serve over the last year. So we had about 160 outreaches last year with hundreds of volunteers from 15 plus churches and ministries come together and use their gifts and skills to encounter Christ, to grow their faith, and just impact people for the kingdom in the city. We're just so thankful for you guys. If you're interested in engaging with us in any way, you can just type in RVA Hope Center and we'll pop up on our website or Facebook or Instagram. But just most importantly, we just wanted to make sure you guys know how much from the bottom of our hearts we appreciate your obedience, your love for Christ, and your generosity. So thanks.
Amen. So, whoa, that was not good. So this is where we get a chance to really engage in this moment. If you bring out your faith promise card, and some of you are new here and maybe have not heard that term faith promise before, I just want to explain to you a little bit of what it is. It really stems out of the history of our church, the very beginning of our church, where this church, kind of their tagline early on is that we're gathered to scatter, really that we would have a missions call, that we would do more outside of our doors than we would do inside of our doors. And that became, again, a movement of missions in our church. And from the very beginning, we would have these Faith Promise Sundays, which basically said, we're going to be the fuel to missions work throughout the world. And so what we do, the way we structure it, is very simply this. If you're a part of this church, then you're a part of it happening. It's very exciting, and you get to be a part of this. And so we give to the church in our general giving, our weekly giving, monthly giving. That really supplies the kind of the foundation of the church work here in Mechanicsville. But on top of that, Faith Promise is something that you would give above that giving, that you would have a conversation with God with and say, God, what would my faith tell me to do? And that's essentially what it is that what would my faith tell me to give? Not God saying, what would you give, but what would the faith that's inside you give the Faith Promise? And so we ask everybody to do these three simple things. We don't really have a goal, a financial goal. We don't have kind of a number, a target we got to hit. We have commitments that we've made to our missionaries like Chi Alpha and RVA Hope Center and Niger Africa and all of our missionaries that you see out there. But pray, God, what would you have me do? And the next is that you would commit. Is that you would kind of respond to that. In fact, that's what the Faith Promise card is. You would write that number down. We don't follow up on you. We just gather that so that we can be able to kind of navigate our commitments. But also, it's an action step on your part. And so the third part is to activate. So we're going to ask you just in a couple of minutes to go ahead and bring that card down. If you need a minute, we're going to be doing this again next week. Maybe you want to share with your family, your spouse, or whatever, or just kind of pray into it a little more. But you can do that as well next week. But I just really want us to encourage us to do that. And then the way we do it, the practical sense, is that you can give it in the way you give at MCC, the same three ways. You can give through our app, you can give online at mccag.org, or you can give through the envelopes and all that. But what we ask you to do always is to mark it Faith Promise. So you'll see there's drop-down screens in the online giving. And I want to just encourage you to take one other step in that, in the activation part, is that if you feel like you're kind of that structured person, would you set up recurring giving online? That way we know kind of on a steady flow of what's coming in. But we'll just trust God with all of that. So I dropped my cards, but I've got a sequence of way I'm going to do these cards. But I just want to share with you for a minute some of the things God did in this past year at MCC through your faith promise and through your missions giving. I'm the missions pastor here, and it's such a privilege to serve in that way. But when we were gathering these things, I was blown away what faith did in our church this year, what your faith did in this church this year, what God did collectively through this church this year. We gave out 3,896 bags of groceries through our food pantry right across the street. Our women knitted 1,150 hats and scarves that we gave out in New York City and the city of Richmond this year. We served over 1,800 hot dogs through our food truck through different ministries at RVA Hope and all of that. RVA Hope Center did over 150 outreaches this year. We had 280 volunteers at our serve day this year. We gave through the Northside Outreach Center and the Robinson Theater. We fueled their Christmas stores and gave hundreds and hundreds of gifts to New York's, those two ministries. Our building projects, RVA Chi Alpha, you guys gave so much money away this year. It's just incredible. Through that, we filled a huge building project at New York School of Urban Ministry. And then we're building classrooms at YWAM in Columbia. We just continue to do that through our building projects. We just shipped off 1,000 Bibles to Niger, Africa, and another 1,000 Bibles are going to France in French writing. This is my favorite one. Reuben, you're awesome, man. Reuben runs, him and his family, they run Promised Land Farms. In the last 5 years, we have served, given, or blessed people with 93,000 fresh eggs. Is that amazing? And at today's dollars, that's like $1 billion. We could pay off everything with that. So we have 14 mission trips with 168 travelers, 64 missionaries and mission organizations that we support every single month. You'll see that out in the foyer. $32,790 raised with our Niger Youth Fundraiser, for schools in Niger, Africa. $52,748 raised in the missions yard sale this year. $123,000 plus in free dental service at our dental clinic right across the street here. $280,000 given in cash right outside the doors for missions projects and outreaches. $193,425 that you guys raised up so you could go on missions trips across the world. I want you to stand up with your faith promise card in your hand right now. Get ready to fill that out. We're going to bring that up in just a minute. But I want to tell you that last year, we raised $289,948 in missions faith promise. 100% of that money is gone. It's not here anymore. It is out there proclaiming the gospel throughout the lands, all from our city of Richmond to Niger, Africa, across the globe. All these missionaries that you support, that's what Faith Promise does. Folks, we are the jet fuel of MCC. What we do in Faith Promise and giving and what we send out, that is a fuel to the gospel going forth. It's powerful. It's exciting. And so total and all that added up together, $866,811 in missions giving this year. We're going to celebrate God in that. We're going to just encourage you as we sing this last worship song for you to take your faith promise card, fill it out, bring it up, put it right in our globe box right here. And we're just going to invite you to come down, stay with us while we worship, and we'll be right back in just a minute.